According to the Housing and Mortgage Corporation, almost 1 million Canadian households face core housing need and are unable to afford shelter that meets Canadian norms of adequacy and suitability. Despite this growing need, the federal government has been cutting back even further on affordable housing subsidies in recent years. Clark Brownlee is with the Right to Housing Coalition and is helping to coordinate a national petition calling on the federal government to reinstate housing supports. He joins me in the studio. Welcome, Clark.
Thank you very much, Josh.
Often it's the more visible elements of homelessness that get attention in the mainstream media, but there's a much broader spectrum of society that faces core housing need. Is there a typical family that is in need of housing or that faces housing poverty?
Well, actually, most families on a modest income are facing a housing shortage or are living beyond their means for housing, and therefore, I mean, that's why we see so heavy use of places like Winnipeg Harvest, because they're paying more than 30% of their income just to have a roof over their head. But really, the housing crisis is really touching all kinds of people. It's touching young people, students, seniors. It's touching, of course, families with children. But really, it cuts right across all kinds of boundaries. The main problem is there just isn't enough. There's a big supply problem. The market has totally failed people with low and moderate incomes.
We do have some social housing in Canada. What does that kind of support look like for the families that are lucky enough to have that option?
Well, there's various kinds of social housing, but to make it plain and simple, most that we refer to as social housing is rent geared to income, and that means that the rent that's charged is based on the income of the family. So the people who are earning the lowest or have the lowest income are going to be paying approximately 30% of that, whatever it is. So it's absolutely essential, because the price of everything else is going up. The cost of housing is going up, food, clothing, recreation. But welfare rates haven't gone up in the last decade, and salaries are not keeping up, and lots of families are working three or four jobs, minimum wage, just to try and keep their family together. So as the operating grants expire, the operating grants are what have been paying the subsidies on Canada's social housing. And as the mortgages expire, so do the operating grants. So I was just going to mention to your audience that we lost 15,000 units of social housing across the country between 2006 and 2010, and we're estimating to lose almost 75,000 between 2010 and 2015.
And that's across Canada?
That's across Canada. Manitoba has approximately 16,000 plus units of social housing. The estimate is that by 2032, if nothing is done, there won't be any more social housing in Canada. It will all have to have been put on market, which means that the people who are in the lower income area are basically going to be homeless. So there's this freight train coming down the road at us, and it's a huge problem. We have about 900,000 units of social housing in the country, and in the next 20 years or so, if nothing is done, there won't be any.
So the federal government used to provide some more supports for social housing in Canada. What kinds of supports were provided in the past?
Well, the federal government would also do capital grants. So when a nonprofit, for example, wanted to build a seniors housing complex in Verdun or Brandon or Souris or Winnipeg, they could apply for and receive a capital grant, which meant that the rent that they had to charge was less than what it would be if they had to borrow the money. So those buildings are still up and running, and most people who are in them don't even realize that their rents are being subsidized because there was a capital grant. That plus the rent subsidies, I think, is there may be other programs that I'm not aware of, but those are the two main ones, I believe.
When did the shift in policy start to occur?
Well, that's a good question. I know that I'm going to switch from social to affordable housing for a minute. And affordable housing is not social housing. It's just housing at the lower end of market. And I know that the federal government in the 90s, it was a Liberal government then, were trying to balance the books made huge cuts to a number of social programs. And the number of affordable housing units that they were supporting went from the hundreds of thousands to maybe five within a couple of years, 5,000, 5,000, not five units, but a huge drop in affordable housing, which means now we have a shortage there as well, because we're not only not building enough affordable housing, we're also losing a lot due to a conversion to condominiums. So a lot of people who are living comfortably, not your typical, oh my goodness, low income people, but seniors on fixed income who thought they were set up in a rented apartment, are being evicted because they can't afford to buy the apartment. And now they're scrambling and pushing for a place to live and competing with all the other people who are drifting into homelessness because of this problem.
So nowadays we're facing budget cuts again, and even steeper cuts, and the federal government is again in deficit. Is it realistic to provide adequate and suitable housing for all Canadian families?
In spite of what government and politicians would have us believe, this is a wealthy country in relation to other countries. What we've had are governments across the country, provincial, municipal, and federal, cutting taxes, creating the shortage that they're now wringing their hands over and using as an excuse to cut more programs. It's time to raise taxes. A lot of people are saying this, even people who are more right-leaning than some of our governments purport to be, are saying, look, it's time to raise taxes. It's time to raise taxes in the city, in the province, and absolutely in the federal government. It's time to roll in some of those rollback taxes on corporations and high wealth. The key to that is to do a progressive tax and not to take it all out of the pockets of the bus riders and the people at the low end of the income spectrum, which is what politicians will tend to do.
Now, your petition is directed at the federal government. Is the provincial government stepping up sufficiently in these areas?
Well, the provincial government, Manitoba Housing, has actually got an interim plan to maintain the subsidies of some of the Aboriginal social housing that's already had their grants expired. I don't know how sustainable that will be. It will certainly require a lot more resources, financial resources, to do on a long-term basis. And as the number of units that are running out grows, the federal government is the much more logical and more able to provide that level of support for housing. And CMHC, that you mentioned initially, takes in billions of dollars in mortgage insurance and pays out millions, and the rest, which could very well be used to subsidize social housing, is being put into government revenue.
Clark, how else can people be involved in this campaign?
I think the main thing is to get the petition out, and we are under no illusion that a petition filed in the House of Commons is going to change this government's mind about this issue. So what we really want to do is raise as much awareness about the problem as we possibly can. So we also have a website. Did I bring it here? Yes, I'll leave it with you. It's defendoursocialhousing at wordpress.com. And there you can download the petition. And we urge everybody not to just sign the petition, but to download it, print it off. It has to be in hard copy if it's going to be filed in the House of Commons, and get as many people signing that petition and talking about the problem. That's the main thing right now, is to get enough people talking about it. Politicians only listen when there's enough public pressure to do something about it. So we've got to really make this a big issue. And we have a few years, but it's getting bigger and bigger.
Well, thanks for coming to talk with us about the issue, Clark.
Thanks, Josh.
And thank you too, Ron.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I've been speaking with Clark Brownlee of the Right to Housing Coalition. You're listening to Mud and Water at CKUW 95.9 FM. Podcasts of past interviews are available for download at mudandwater.org.